Emotional bites. Because feelings matter. Ever feel like your emotions kind of just hijack you, you know? Like one minute you're cruising along and the next you're like totally overwhelmed.
Oh, absolutely. It's like being along for the ride, but not really in the driver's seat.
Exactly. So today we're ditching the passenger seat and taking the wheel. We're doing a deep dive on how emotions really work.
Yeah, think of it like we're giving you the user manual for that incredible, sometimes messy inner world of yours.
No more feeling lost in the emotional wilderness,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We're going to unpack some cutting-edge research, explain things simply, and give you some real practical takeaways.
Sounds like a plan. I'm really curious about this whole idea of emotions being processed on different levels. I mean, It always feels like one big wave to me.
Right. It feels so immediate.
Yeah, like bam, emotion.
Exactly. But what's fascinating is that there's actually a whole lot happening behind the scenes before you even realize it.
Okay, so walk me through it. What's going on in our brains?
So imagine an emotional elevator.
Okay, I'm visualizing it.
All right, so picture this. You're driving, and suddenly, someone cuts you off. That split-second surge of fear you feel, the instinct to slam on the brakes before you even have time to think.
Oh, yeah.
That's your reactive level, like the basement of your emotional elevator pure instinct kicking in.
So it's happening before we even consciously realize what's going on.
Exactly. It's your body's way of keeping you safe in those fight-or-flight moments.
Wow, so then what happens?
Well, after that initial jolt, you instinctively check your mirrors, maybe take a deep breath, right? That's you moving up to the ground floor, the routine level. Your brain is drawing on past experiences, those learned responses to navigate the situation.
So it's like our internal system saying, okay, breathe, we've got this.
Exactly. It's like your brain has an emergency protocol and it kicks in automatically. But there's one more level, the penthouse suite of emotional processing.
Ooh, penthouse suite. This sounds fancy.
This is where things get really interesting. This is the reflective level. It's where you take that raw feeling, maybe label it as fear or anger, and you start to connect it to the bigger picture of your life.
Okay, so it's like going from that initial, reaction to actually understanding why you reacted that way.
Exactly. You're adding context, meaning even personal history to the experience.
And that brings us to appraisal theory, right? The idea that it's not just about what happens to us, but how we interpret it that really shapes our emotional experience.
You got it. Appraisal is like the lens through which we view the world. And that lens is shaped by our past experiences, our values, our beliefs, everything that makes us us.
Okay, I need an example. How does appraisal work in real life?
All right, so let's say you're on safari, you're driving through the savannah, and suddenly a crocodile appears right next to your car.
Whoa.
Right. Now, for someone who's terrified of reptiles, their heart's probably racing. They're thinking, get me out of here.
But for someone who's like a wildlife photographer who's dreamed of this moment,
they're probably ecstatic. Same crocodile, same situation, but totally different emotional responses because their brains are interpreting the event through completely different lenses. And it highlights just how important appraisal is to our emotional lives. We're not just passive recipients of our emotions. We have the power to shape them, to reframe our experiences by understanding how we're interpreting the world around us.
So it's not just about what happens to us. It's about what happens inside us, how we make sense of it all.
Exactly. You're not just along for the ride. You're the co-pilot of your own emotional journey. And that's pretty empowering, don't you think?
Absolutely. Okay, but let's be real. Life isn't always one clear emotion at a time. Things get messy, right? Like sometimes I'm happy and sad, excited and scared all at the same time. Oh. What's up with those mixed emotions?
Yes, mixed emotions. They're actually more common than we think, and they're a fascinating example of just how nuanced our emotional system really is. Yeah, it's like, you know that feeling when your favorite band from like forever ago announces a reunion tour? Oh, yeah. You're like, yes, finally. But also, wait, can I even get tickets?
Exactly. Or imagine you're at a going away party. Mm. You're happy for your friend, excited about their new adventure, but...
But you're also kind of bummed that they're moving halfway across the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's bittersweet. And that's the thing about mixed emotions. They're totally normal. It's not always a simple case of happy or sad.
So it's not like our internal system is malfunctioning when we feel that jumble of emotions.
Not at all. In fact, it's actually a sign of a healthy, nuanced emotional system, especially during those big life changes.
Right. Those big transitions, graduations, new jobs, moving. They can really throw you for a loop.
Absolutely. Researchers call these transformative events, and they can really send our emotions into overdrive, you know?
It's like your whole system is trying to recalibrate, like downloading a major software update, but like with all those unexpected error messages popping up along the way.
That's a great analogy. And during those times, it's natural to feel overwhelmed, confused, even a little unsure about what you're feeling or why. So what's the best way to deal with that emotional chaos? Should we be trying to sort everything into neat little boxes, label each feeling?
It's tempting to try to oversimplify things, but honestly, it's more helpful to just embrace the complexity. Like instead of trying to suppress those feelings or pick just one to focus on, acknowledge all of it. It's okay to feel happy and sad at the same time. It's all part of the human experience. We've been talking a lot about, you know, those negative emotions. But should we really be aiming for that whole good vibes only approach to life?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Because we all want to feel happy, right?
Of course. But what if instead of labeling them as good or bad, we thought about their motivational direction? Like, what are they trying to tell us? What actions are they guiding us toward?
Okay, I'm intrigued. So we're talking about looking at emotions less like, you know, good or bad and more like clues.
Yeah, exactly. Some emotions, like joy, excitement, they pull us towards something we want more of, a desired outcome.
They're like, go for it, signals.
Right. But other emotions, like fear or anxiety, might make us want to move away from something potentially harmful or negative.
So those emotions are like warning signs, like, hey, proceed with caution here.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that even those so-called negative emotions, anger, sadness, guilt, they're not inherently bad. They often serve a purpose, even if it's not always immediately obvious.
Okay, so how do we apply that? Can you give me an example of a so-called negative emotion that can actually be helpful?
Sure. Think about buyer's remorse, that sinking feeling you get after an impulsive purchase.
Ugh, yes. I know that feeling all too well.
It's not a fun feeling, right? But that discomfort, it can actually motivate you to make more mindful decisions in the future, maybe do a little more research before you hit buy now.
So it's like those negative emotions can teach us valuable lessons, help us grow.
Precisely. It's all about reframing how we think about emotions. They're not the enemy. They're a fundamental part of what makes us human.
It's like they're trying to have a conversation with us, if we can just learn to listen.
For our listeners who are out there thinking, whoa, this is a lot to process, and believe me, it is, where do we even begin?
Right, like what's the first step?
I think it starts with paying closer attention to your own emotional landscape. And I don't just mean noticing what you're feeling, but how it shows up in your body, your thoughts, your behaviors.
So like really tuning into those subtle cues, those whispers that our emotions are always sending us.
Exactly. It's like becoming an anthropologist of your own inner world.
I like that. So we're not just learning about emotions in some abstract way.
Yeah.
We're learning to really use them as a source of insight and guidance.
You know, as we navigate this increasingly complex world, understanding our own emotions, even the messy and seemingly negative ones, might be the most important skill we can cultivate.
And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought. What if you spent the next week really paying attention to those emotional cues? What are your emotions trying to tell you? Until next time, stay curious, my friends.